South Dakota Democratic primaries tonight here on AM 580. Let's take a look now at what's happening in the world of sports. The Red Stars are coming to Chicago in the spring of 2009. Chicago's new women's professional soccer team unveiled its team name and logo today. Red Stars general manager Marsha McDermott says the name honors the city of Chicago's flag, which features four red six-pointed stars. Those stars represent four landmark events in Chicago's history: the Great Chicago Fire, the Fort Dearborn Massacre, and the 1893 and 1933 World's Fairs. The Red Stars will kick off their inaugural season in April 2009 at Toyota Park in the Chicago suburb of Bridgeview. Flip Saunders was fired as Detroit Pistons coach today, 4 days after his team was eliminated in the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals for a third straight year. Assistant coach Michael Curry appears to be the leading candidate to succeed Saunders. Big Brown's cracked left front hoof is improving daily and held up well today in his final workout before the Belmont Stakes. The three-year-old thoroughbred is looking to become horse racing's first Triple Crown winner in 30 years. A victory over the San Diego Padres tonight would give the Chicago Cubs 9 straight victories and their first road series win since early April. The Cardinals, meanwhile, are on the road tonight to open a 3-game set in Washington. They are in second place in the NL Central, 3.5 games behind the Cubs. The Nationals have lost 2 in a row and are last in the majors with a .231 batting average. The Cards, meanwhile, are coming off a 4-3 homestand. And the Chicago White Sox have lost 3 straight, and they're near the bottom of the American League with a .247 batting average heading into tonight's game against the Kansas City Royals in Chicago. That's sports.
Support for programs comes from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings every Saturday from 2 to 6, and beer and spirit tastings on Sundays from 3 to 5. Information at thecorkscrew.com.
Chicago's highway congestion is notorious. There's much less awareness about one of its causes: the clogged condition of the area's rail lines. Transportation experts say reducing Chicago's rail congestion could cut commuting times, protect the environment, and fuel the local economy. A public-private partnership called CREATE aims to relieve the congestion, but after 5 years of work, the partnership has accomplished little. Chip Mitchell reports.
Chicago is the only city where 6 of the continent's 7 largest railroads converge. But rail improvements over the years haven't kept up with increasing demand for freight transportation. That's helped make trucking more competitive and roads more congested.
Heading into Chicago from the east, the last big truck stop is here in Gary, Indiana. About 150 semis loaded with everything from steel coils to pet food have pulled in. Most say they won't go any further until traffic ahead loosens up. It's just 4 in the afternoon, so they're going to be here a while.
Meet me well.
Yes, sir.
All right, you got my baking table?
Right here, man.
38-year-old Richard Felton of Olympia, Washington, has a seat in the truck stop diner.
Sitting idle, eating greasy food when I could just be going down the road doing what I need to do.
Felton's Freightliner is pulling a 53-foot trailer full of furniture and lab equipment from Ohio and Michigan. He has another load to pick up in Naperville, but Felton says there's no use burning fuel and wearing out brakes in Chicago's stop-and-go traffic.
Probably 6 o'clock in the morning until 8 o'clock at night, it's congested. It could take anywhere from 2 to 4 hours to get through.
Transportation experts say road congestion hurts productivity, hikes consumer prices, and fills the air with greenhouse gases. But there is another way to move freight. A single train can carry more weight than 200 trucks can. Paul Nowicki is an assistant vice president of the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railway.
We can get a ton of freight from Chicago to Minneapolis on a gallon of fuel.
The problem is getting the trains out of the city in the first place. Congestion on Chicago area rail lines can hold up freight trains for as long as 2 days. In 2003, Nowicki's company and 5 other major railroads partnered with the city and state to eliminate some of the bottlenecks. They came up with a plan called CREATE, short for the Chicago Region Environmental and Transportation Efficiency Program.
Motorists will spend 3,000 hours per day less time waiting at grade crossings for trains to go by after CREATE is built, and Metro service will be improved as well.
The plan calls for 78 projects, including crossing signals, control towers, and grade separations. Most of the separations would lift roads above rail lines when they cross. Six others, called flyovers, would separate crossing rail lines.
One flyover would be here near 63rd and State on Chicago's south side. Some Norfolk Southern freight trains sit for hours waiting for Metra commuter trains like this one to cross. The plan is to lift the Metra line 23 feet so the tracks no longer touch.
Planners say CREATE would double the average speed of freight trains through the Chicago area. They say that could help generate thousands of local jobs. But 5 years since CREATE's launch, just two of the 78 projects are complete, and just four others are under construction.
At this pace, unfortunately, the CREATE program is on a schedule to take 25 years. And these are improvements that are needed now.
Jim LaBelle is a deputy director of a business-backed group called Chicago Metropolis 2020. He says the most glaring problem is a lack of funding. As designed, CREATE was going to run $1.5 billion.
They were looking at the federal government to pay the lion's share of it.
But the Fed's first installment, approved by Congress in 2005, was just $100 million. The state of Illinois has come up with even less, just $10 million. Governor Rod Blagojevich's latest capital proposal would add $100 million for CREATE. But an impasse between Blagojevich and House Speaker Michael Madigan is holding it up. The leading CREATE proponent in the House is Elaine Nekritz of Northwest Suburban Des Plaines. Nekritz says passing a capital bill depends on the governor.
We are going to need some assurances that the money will be spent in the manner in which we anticipate.
Congressman Dan Lipinski of Chicago says the stalemate could make it harder to get more federal support.
If the state of Illinois does not pass a capital bill this year, it's going to be much more difficult for me to make the argument to bring more funding back to the state of Illinois, including CREATE.
With CREATE's funding so shaky, at least one of the partners is getting cold feet. Montreal-based CN has announced plans to purchase a line that bypasses Chicago, known as the EJ&E. Suburbs along that railway are upset about the prospect of more freight trains. But CN Vice President Karen Borlaug Phillips says her company has to do something about its congestion.
While we are very supportive of CREATE and hope CREATE gets funded, we can't wait several years for that to happen.
Many CREATE supporters say the funding may never materialize unless politicians start hearing more about the program from constituents. But the public still doesn't know much about CREATE. Randy Blankenhorn of the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning says that's partly because the partnership meets behind closed doors.
These are public dollars, so we have to be open about the way we spend those dollars.
The stakes are high. Over the next two decades, Blankenhorn points out, the federal government expects demand for freight transportation through the Chicago area to nearly double.
And if we don't have a successful rail system, if it's not efficient, our two options are to lose that freight or to put them on the highways.
What a person does between birth and death.
At the Indiana stop, 40-year-old trucker Gerald Smith of Clarksville, Tennessee, just endured a three-hour drive through suburban Chicago.
I might have reached 5 miles an hour, if that. It was a nightmare.
Smith doesn't like the idea of putting more freight on railways, but he can't come up with a better alternative. He knows that adding highway lanes isn't the answer.
Because you widen the roads and you get more people. You get more cars. You widen the roads. It's going to be an ongoing thing for the rest of my life that I know of.
For now, Smith says, he's just trying to make it home to his kids.
You're right. You always got a problem child.
It's going to be a long night. I'm Chip Mitchell, Chicago Public Radio.
Between the recently concluded Memorial Day weekend and the September Labor Day weekend, millions of people in this country will travel both in the U.S. and abroad. Lester Graham talked with AAA's Nancy Kane about consumers' travel plans and concerns this summer.
Well, what we're hearing from a lot of folks is that they're still going to travel, but they're going to travel differently than they've done in the past. They're much more economically minded. They're going to be looking for travel bargains. They're going to be trying to camp out. They're going to travel in groups. They're going to do anything they can to have an enjoyable vacation while saving money at the same time.
What about those big vacations that require a flight? Are fuel prices stopping people from going places, far away places?
AAA is projecting that about 25 million Americans are going to travel overseas this summer. But they're also going to try and be as economical as they can because, you know, as you know, the American dollar is pretty much at an all-time low. So people will still travel. We think the skies will be fairly crowded this summer. But definitely much more of people's discretionary income is going towards these trips. They'll have less for other things, and they're less likely to buy souvenirs once they get to their destinations. And they're looking at, you know, perhaps downgrading a room to a less expensive room and, you know, having a bigger meal at lunch versus at dinner when dinner prices are more expensive. So any way they can, they're going to be cutting costs.
Are people starting to look at other types of transportation, such as the train, you know, Amtrak, to avoid the driving?
We think that in Amtrak, certainly AAA, our surveys have shown that people are showing more of a willingness to take either, you know, Greyhound bus, Amtrak, carpool with somebody else. You know, the glory days of people taking a two-week vacation in July and heading out for 2 weeks to the beach, those days are pretty much gone.
I'm wondering, the hotel industry is a pretty mercenary industry. They're really going after travelers. I wonder what they're doing to encourage people to travel now with this new wrinkle in people's budget.
A lot of the hotels, the big hotels, what they're doing in many cases is offering like discount cards. They're offering, you know, gas cards. Everybody is trying to do what they can to attract tourists to come back and go out there and spend. Even though gas prices are record highs, tourism is one of the backbones of the economy of this country. So people want to get out, and also they want to enjoy their vacation.
Trucking companies are starting to slow down to try to save a little fuel. And I've heard about it, although I haven't actually seen that some people are actually slowing down their cars on the highway. Is that becoming a common trend?
You know what, AAA, we're seeing that more and more. And this is advice that we've been giving for years. You know, slowing down on the highway and even city driving, just 5 miles an hour can really improve your fuel economy. And people, we've said this for years, but now that gas prices are looking at $4 a gallon, people are starting to, you know, follow this advice, trying to, you know, ease up on the gas pedal, avoiding those jackrabbit starts and stops. And you can see people are trying to be a little more conservative and thinking conservation when they're driving.
So, Nancy, I want to ask you a personal question. What have you been doing differently because of these higher gas prices?
You know, yeah, truly what I do, and I have been doing this, and I've made a point of it. When I'm in line, like at the bank, I turn my engine off. It's just those little things, turning your engine off, and I do try and think conservatively, you know, plan your trips, you know, so you can go around and not go out one place in the morning and somewhere else in the afternoon. And I really do make an effort to do that because you can, you know, reduce your gas costs. And also what I've been thinking about doing, some of my colleagues have also thought this, you know, maybe we should start carpooling even one day a week. That would save some money.
Nancy Kane is with AAA. She spoke with the Environment Report's Lester Graham.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. Have something to say about the Environment Report? Send email to feedback@environmentreport.org.
As gas prices are going up, people are looking for ways to save. More are taking public transportation, and some are swapping their cars for motor scooters, since scooters get up to 100 miles to the gallon. Sarus Farivar reports.
These days, scooters are flying off the showroom floor faster than you can say Vespa. In New York, the local scooter club has seen an increase in membership over the last several months. In Chicago, manufacturer Genuine Scooters is selling in record numbers. And here, at the San Francisco Scooter Center, owner Barry Gwynn says that he's been selling out of his entire stock every month.
6 months ago, we were probably selling 5 or 6 scooters a month, and now we're probably selling close to 40 scooters a month. So gas prices absolutely has made a difference in our sales.
Gwynn's not the only one. The Motorcycle Industry Council reports that scooter sales nationwide are up almost 25%. Gwynn adds that not only are consumers attracted by the higher gas mileage, but also because it's significantly cheaper than something like a Toyota Prius.
The whole package, scooter helmets, everything, you'd probably be into from the ballpark of $2,700.
So definitely under $3,000.
Definitely under $3,000. So it's an easy, economical way to get around town and really have a lot of fun doing it and look good at the same time.
On a recent Saturday afternoon, Gwynn spent a few minutes talking with Kevin O'Neill and Lynn Beach, a couple who just bought their first scooter a week before. they came in to shop for a helmet.
You just want to make sure your helmet fits you correctly.
Beach says that with her scooter,